All right, turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Due to the snow that our Lord sent, I was not able to preach any of the messages that I had prepared for Sunday. And I felt like I would feel led to bring one of them tonight. But I read a verse of Scripture Tuesday morning, and I was drawn into this verse. I have quoted this verse so many times. We have read this verse so many times. You know this verse. I couldn't begin to imagine how many times we've thought about or quoted or read this verse. But I believe the Lord allowed me to enter into the glory of what He's saying. More so of it. We'll never exhaust the Scriptures to the fullest. But I believe He let me see more of the glory of what it's saying. Oftentimes, we quote or we read a verse of Scripture as one thought, and then we move on to the next one. But sometimes the Lord opens our eyes to see some of the detail in it. And I believe that's what happened for me with 1 John 3, verse 1. Now, I want to consider each line. Here's what we're about to do. We're about to look at each statement in this verse. But let's begin by reading the whole verse. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Let's see if the Lord will allow us to enter into each segment of that verse. All right, it says, "Behold." Behold. I love it when we truly behold. You know the difference? You know the difference how sometimes we read the word and we see it with the eye, we hear it with the ear, but sometimes God allows us to behold. Behold, our Lord has given us some glorious beholds in the Scripture. He's written quite a few beholds. Some wonderful, amazing beholds. Behold means perceive this. It means turn the eyes to this. While our eyes are on everything under the sun, for one moment, turn your eyes to this. It means know this with understanding. We have some glorious beholds in this Scripture. Let's read a couple of them. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The Lord God, the voice, said, "Cry." And He said, the messenger said, "What shall I cry? What do you want me to cry to your people?" And here's what it is. "All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Verse 9 says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold your God. Perceive. Turn the eyes to your God. Know with understanding the true and living God. Not just this dead little g God that everybody has made up in their minds. Everybody has a God. The cry of the messenger is, turn your eyes to the true and living God. Behold your God. Behold God. When the truth comes to a sinner, when the message comes, that's the cry. Behold God. God. Verse 10 says, Behold, the Lord God will come. Now, I love this. Do you notice how it's capital L, lowercase O-R-D? That's Jesus Christ. Behold, Jesus Christ, God, will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work is before Him. Behold your God. That's what the gospel cries. Behold your God. Now turn with me to John chapter 19. John 19. Verse 5 says, Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Pilate is talking about the same person Isaiah was talking about. Behold your God. How? The messenger cries the message. It goes out. Behold your God. How? Where? Where do I turn? Where do I look? Behold the man. God manifest in the flesh. God manifest. God come down to bear the sins of His people. Behold the man. Behold the man. God came down to bear the sins of His people in the only way that it was possible. He became the man. He became the man, the only man who was worthy to put away sin. The only man who was able to put away sin. And the reason is because He Himself was sinless. I cannot take your sin upon myself. I cannot do anything for you. No mortal man can do anything for another man. He has his own sin to deal with. I have sin in me and sin on me. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. Therefore, He could take the sin of another and lay it on Himself. Bear it before God. Behold how the one who knew no sin willingly became it, submissively endured it to the absolute fullest of its destruction. Sin brings absolute destruction, and to the fullest of its destruction, He suffered it. To the complete satisfaction, He fulfilled it. And in absolute victory, He has risen from it. Behold how through His own death, He put away death forever. The death of His people. He put it away forever. If we have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, The cry of the Word of God to us is, behold your God, behold the man. Behold the man. Who is that man? Who is the God-man? Who is he? Look at the end of verse 14 right here. It says, behold your king. I was thinking about this. Sometimes my mind wonders what that day is going to be like. We all do. We can't help it. We're longing for and looking for that day. Can you imagine the moment that we enter into the gates of glory? And the archangel of God points and says, behold your king. There he sits. Approach his throne with boldness. Behold the man. There he sits. Behold your God. There's another behold that I love. I love this one so much. Don't turn, but in Matthew 8, verse 2, it says, and behold, there came a leper. Amazingly enough, a leper walked straight up to the God-man, the King of kings and Lord of lords. A desperate sinner in need came to the only Savior of sinners. You know, that's who this message is to. It's not to those who don't need this message. It's not to those who have conquered their sin. It's to sinners in need of the Savior. All of that causes me to enter more into our text. It all causes me to enter in more to the behold that is written in our text. Go with me back over there to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, behold what manner of love. There are different types of love in this world. There are different degrees of love in this world. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What manner means, this is what the definition of what manner is. It means what type. It means where and who. It means what quality. Behold where and who this love came from. And behold the quality. Behold the quality of this love. Our Lord said, greater love hath no man than this. There is no greater love on this earth. No greater love has ever been known. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. Let's see if we can get our hearts around this. There's no way we can get our minds around this. No possible way. But let's see if the Lord will let us understand something of this with the heart, okay? There has never been a moment throughout all of eternity past. There has never been one moment throughout all of never beginning eternity. Never beginning eternity. There is no beginning. There's never been one moment that God the Father has not loved us in Christ. Never been one moment that He has not thought on us in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where all the love of God is found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every soul that was placed in Him for all eternity has been loved, thought on. Behold, what manner of love. His love is an eternal love. His love is a drawing love. He said at the end of verse 3, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He said, because I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I've drawn you. Every soul that He loves, He draws. Every single one. And that gives me such comfort for myself and every soul I preach to. Every soul God loves, He draws. His love is a perfect love. His love is a particular love. His love is an enduring love. Having loved His own, that's His particular love. He loves His own. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Doesn't that make your heart jump? Here's the declaration. He will never stop loving us if He put us in Christ. If we're in Christ, He'll never stop loving us. Do you have any concept of how rotten we are? Any concept of just how flat ruined we really are? If He put us in Christ, He will never stop loving us for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. He'll never. Don't you love that story of Mephibosheth? David swore to Jonathan. He said, would you watch out for my house? He said, I swear to you. And they went and grabbed that poor lame boy and brought him before the king, who was his enemy. And he thought, my life is over. And King David said, you put that boy at my table. You feed him with my family. He's one of mine. I love him for Jonathan's sake. And that's what God the Father says to every soul in Christ. I love him for Christ's sake. Having loved His own, He loved him to the end. He'll never stop loving us. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner. Go back to 1 John 3. Verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That is our relationship with God concerning all things. Anything that we talk about or the Scripture declares to us concerning our relationship with God, that's what it is. Everything that we have before Him has been bestowed upon us. All of our righteousness, in order to be accepted, in order to stand in His presence and not be absolutely slain on sight, we must have a perfect righteousness. And all of our righteousness before Him, all of our obedience, all of our goodness, all of our perfection was all bestowed on us. We didn't earn it. It was all bestowed upon us by Him. Who makes us to differ? What do we have that we did not receive? Everything we have before God, we received it. There's no room for boasting. There's no room to glory. Turn back a few pages to James chapter 1. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Don't you love that? He will not turn from it. Mercy is a gift. God chose to show mercy. Mercy came from the heart and the mind and the will of God. Grace means freely bestowed gift. That's what it means. Unearned. Unmerited. Grace is of God. It's all of God. Freely given. And that's exactly what He did with His great love, wherewith He loved us. For God so loved, He gave. Verse 17 right here in James 1, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us. How did He do it? How does He save His people? How are we born again? With the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. You know, concerning salvation, this is the great question on every seeker's mind. Any person who is at all interested in this thing of salvation, this is the question every person asks. What must I do? That's the question. What truly is my role? They seek and search and go to this and go to that. Just tell me, what do I have to do? All right? You just get down to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road. What do I have to do? Here's the answer. Nothing. Nothing. In the eternal mind and will of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, they purposed to do something. And they did it. And it's done. And now we're just being notified of it. And their notification to us is going to draw us. We don't have a say in the matter. It is going to draw us, and we are going to come. We're not begging men, come to Christ, come to Christ. We are going to come. And they are going to put faith in our hearts, causing us to believe in and on their word and their finished work. We are going to believe Christ finished it. We are going to believe He is able. We are going to believe He's the Savior of sinners. And we will cry, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the bloody victim, the payment, the covering for our sins. That's love. Behold what manner of love. All right, go with me back to 1 John 3. Verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called. Behold what manner of love it is that God would call us. Call sinners to Himself. He called His enemies to Himself. He drew us near. He spoke words of peace to us. He could have and He should have left us in our blindness. But He opened our eyes to see. He could have and He should have left us in the damnation and the ignorance of unbelief. But He opened our hearts to know Him and believe Him. Believe every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Behold, what manner of love that we should be called. Now, I want to show you something that I have just really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed this. I believe this is truth, and this is wonderful. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow," the word means elect, "whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Every soul that he chose, he predestinated for that soul to end up looking and being just like Christ. That's the predetermined end, the predetermined result for every sinner he chose. Verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, this is what really got my attention about that. Knowing that the gospel call is a notification of what is already finished. Knowing that, right? Knowing that, that could cause us to think, well, that verse is just a little bit out of order. It would be more accurate and maybe read more correctly if it read this way: "Whom he did predestinate, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also glorified." But do you know that that verse is not out of order? Here's the reason why. Romans 3, verse 28, Romans 5, verse 1, Galatians 2, verse 16, Galatians 3, verse 11, Galatians 3, verse 24, and James 2, verse 24, all say that we are justified by faith. They all say we're justified by faith. That God-given call to believe on Christ, justified by faith in Him, justified by faith in the fact that He justified us, justified in crying, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by washing us. He washed us in His own blood. He washed my sins in His own blood, and He saved us. So that verse is written in correct order. Whom He called, whom He opens the eyes of and causes them to see Christ and believe, them He also justified. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So let's behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called. And not just called to Him as a subject, but called sons of God. Behold what we've been called to, the sons of God. Now, don't turn back to the text, but it says at the end, "Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not." Meaning, we have been called to be of Him, born of Him, one with Him. He said in John 17, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He said, "As the world treated me, it will treat them also, because they're of me." They're one with me. In Christ, we are one with Him. In Christ, we have been adopted into His family. In Christ, we are children of the high and holy Heavenly Father. We're the children of the Father. And right here in Romans 8, if you look at verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Everything He gets, we get. I say that so fearfully and just so humbly and so reverently. Everything that He inherits, we inherit in Him as a joint heir with Him. Years ago, I love this story. I was a young boy when I heard this. Well, I guess I wasn't that young. I don't know how old I was. But the reason I say that is because Brother Don Fortner's daughter, Faith, got married. And she married a fella named Doug. And after they got married, Don made a set of keys for Doug and handed them to him. And he said, "This is a key to my house. This is a key to my car. This is a key to my garage. What's mine is yours." Doug said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah, if you need something in my garage, just go grab it." He said, "Anything I want?" And Don said, "Son, I gave you my daughter. You don't think I'd give you a wrench?" Look at verse 32 here in Romans 8. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" After Him, what's all things? What are all things? "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." I'd rather be known by Him, wouldn't you? I care for this world. My prayer to God is that they might be saved. But oh, that we might know Him and He might know us. Let's all stand together.